So notice up on the screen here, the title of the sermon, I'm just going to give it to you right away. Coloring Outside the Lines. Who still likes to color? There we go. Hey, I got more hands than I thought I would get. I mean, I sit there with my grandkids and I'll sit there and the way I color in circles. Try to get an even coat all the way across the page. But I do it a certain way myself. So yeah, I got more hands than I expected that I would get. But we're going to look at some biblical accounts today of that very thing, of coloring outside the lines. And when I was preparing for my sermon this morning, well, not this morning, but during this week, there was a word that came to me, and it might seem kind of strange for what I'm going to be talking about here today, but the word that came to me was desperate. Anybody ever been desperate? Well, as I was looking at that, I kind of got a sense of, okay, what does desperate mean? Sometimes people think, well, it means hopelessness. I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure where I'll go. I'm not sure where I'll turn. But as I was studying that word desperate, there were some things that came to me that I found some meanings of it that said it involves an extreme danger, possible disaster. But then it goes on and says, in extreme intensity, shocking, outrageous, extreme behavior, outside the norm, you're going to do whatever it takes, no matter the danger, no matter what people may think, it may shock people, it may shock you, but you're going to do what the things that need to be done to get to the point where you receive the promises of God. We're going to look at some passages where they did that. They went outside the norm, because I think too many times in our religious world, in our religious coloring book, we try too hard to stay inside the lines. And there's too many accounts in the Bible where they went outside the lines. They went outside the religious establishment. And I think that if we want to get to the point where we receive those things that we need in our lives, we want to get to the point where we know that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and we want to get to the point where we know what that plan and purpose it is, and then step out in faith, walking in a direction like he told Abraham, go to a place that I'll show you. Where's that? That's not within my religious coloring book. That's not inside the lines. That's outside the lines. Go where I'll show you. How does that work? Okay, well, we're going to find out here in just a few minutes. But desperation will cause you to operate outside the religious lines. With our kids, and of course I did it with my grandkids too, is that you try to get them to, you tell them, you also teach them how to color within the lines. You're sitting there, I've done it with my grandkids before, I'll grab their hand and when they were younger, and I'll force them to stay within the lines. I don't let them do what they do. You know, I force them to stay in the lines. Well, why do I do that? Because that's what we do. We're to make the picture look pretty, you got to stay inside the lines. To make the picture look pretty so that when people look at what my kid's done, I'm not embarrassed. They colored outside lines. Boy, they're not very smart. No, creative. But anyway, but we do that. We try to get them to stay inside the lines. But when you are desperate for the move of God in your life, you will color outside the lines. You will go to a place that you never thought you would go before. Sitting in church here, and man, I got this huge thing going on in my life. I got this huge need going on in my life. But I can't tell anybody, because then they'll think that I'm not good enough. That I'm not perfect, that my life's, they'll think my life's out of order. You know what? When you're desperate enough, as we'll see here in a minute, you'll go outside those lines. You will color outside of those lines. You know, you might be in church here, and all of a sudden, preaching along here, and all of a sudden, somebody in the congregation says, Jesus! Is that, that's outside of religious lines. You don't do that in church when the preacher's preaching. You know what? In that moment, whatever was said, you don't know what they were just delivered from. And they expressed themselves in that fashion. You know, and so now you wouldn't do this. You wouldn't do this. This is just me. I'm the only one that would do this. And so I'm thinking, sitting there, and they just screamed out, yelled Jesus. As a pastor, I might think, oh my, what will the visitors think? You wouldn't do that. Only me. Only me. What would the visitors think? And I'm trying to make eye contact with the visitors to make sure they're still engaged. I see not just the one, but the whole family gets up and goes out to the hallway to the restroom. A little odd. Well, when they go out to go to the restroom, all of a sudden they bypass the restroom and they're heading outside the door. So as the pastor, now you wouldn't do this, just me. As the pastor, I'm thinking, okay, I got to make sure I keep eye contact. And then I might tell the Lord, Lord, why are you moving in this way? Why did you let somebody yell Jesus? Why would you do that? You're embarrassing it. The visitors just left. Why would you let a move go like that? Once again, we don't know what that person was just delivered from. But you wouldn't do that. Just the pastor would say that to God. So that's what I might tell the Lord. Well, what he may tell me is, don't ever accuse me of hurting the harvest. Don't ever accuse me of hurting the harvest. I've said this many times. I believe the Bible, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of them. So if he's there in the midst of us, he's here right now. If he's here in the midst of us, he wants something to happen. He wants to see somebody who may be suffering something very traumatic in their life. He wants them delivered. He wants them set free today. But if we look at somebody and say, you know, don't go outside the lines like this, stay inside the lines, you're never going to get free of it. You've got to step outside the lines if you want to be free of what it is that you're dealing with. But, you know, I wrote this down. He said, they come to me with their hurts. They come to me with their broken lives. They come to me with their broken bodies. They come to me with their loneliness. People don't ever think about that. We always think about the prosperity or the lack that we have. We always think about the healing that we need. But we never think about somebody who's just flat out lonely. You ever gone to a nursing home before? A lot of families don't even come visit their kids or their parents. A lot of kids don't visit their parents. Man, they're lonely. I had one of my daughters when she was real little. She would go to this group. A lot of the people sit in wheelchairs and their heads are always bent down like this. And so she would come in there. She's 4 years old. She'd kneel down on the floor, put her hands like this, and she'd look up at them and talk to them. You know, and that was just the best thing in the world. And she still remembers that to this day. But, you know, they're lonely. They want to be healed. They want to be delivered. They need to be. And if we stay within the religious lines, a lot of that stuff's not going to happen. If we stay within the religious lines at Life Point Church, which we're not going to, I always say you can swing from the ceiling fans if you want to, but they're awfully high up there. But anyway, we're not going to. Now, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Now, if these things are happening in the Bible, right, then they should be considered as part of the norm. We're going to look at one right now where he colored outside the lines. And you'll see the deliverance that he got. Mark chapter 10. Start with verse 46. And it says, then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. Okay, now get your crayons out. You know, get ready to color with him here. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. How desperate are you? Are you willing to cry out when you have something going on? Jesus, have mercy on me. Man, get outside the lines. Anyway, have mercy on me. Of course, what did everybody else do that were around him? Be quiet. Yeah, when I saw that, I got this here this picture in my mind. When they were telling him, be quiet. Now, you get the mother look. You don't even have to say anything to your kids. You give them that mother look, and they know, be quiet. Don't say another word. Well, you got this right here. It says, they were telling him, be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted even louder. He's coloring outside the lines right now. Son of David, have mercy on me. He wasn't ashamed of how he colored. He had a need in his life, and he heard that Jesus was passing by. He knew that Jesus was the deliverer. He had heard that Jesus was healing people. He was going about teaching and healing people. And when he heard Jesus was coming by, he knew that this was his answer. He was desperate in that moment when he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm coloring outside the lines. And the religious people told him to be quiet. Come on. We should never be telling anybody to be quiet when they're desperate for a move in their lives. We don't know what they're going through. We don't know what they've been through. But they need a move of God in their lives. Smith Wigglesworth, he was born back in the 1800s and died in 1947. He's a British evangelist. And one of the quotes that he said, real faith has perfect peace and joy. And a shout at any time, it always sees the victory. A shout. Bartimaeus was shouting, Jesus, have mercy on me. We go on down here and we keep reading. It says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped. When you cry out to God, he stops in that moment. And he says, what do you want? When Jesus heard him, he stopped. And he said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. All these people who are telling him to be quiet, all these hangers on, you got a lot of hangers on in the religious world. We don't need hangers on. We need people that are on fire for God, that got the Spirit of God on the inside of them, so that when somebody is crying out for a move of God in their lives, these people are crying out right alongside of him. We don't need religious people. We need to be able to freely color outside the lines. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat and jumped up and came to Jesus. Now, I was reading about that, and when they talked about his coat, I always thought, well, what's that really mean? Well, as a blind man, they had a cloak that they would on the ground, and people would come by, and out of their generosity, they would throw money onto this cloak. And so he had that spread out. And it said when Jesus called him, said he grabbed his cloak and he threw it aside. Chances are he threw aside his cloak, all the money that was on it. That money meant nothing to him in that moment. When he saw that the healer was in the house, that the healer was in his presence, and the healer had just called for him to come forward. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. What is it that you want Jesus to do for you? What's going on in your life right now? What do you want him to do? Well, what do you need to do? You need to call on him in faith. Because you go on down here to say what it says here. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith. Now, how does that work? So Bartimaeus, he heard about Jesus. He called out to Jesus. Jesus called him forward. And Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Well, he knew. He had an expectation that when he walked into the presence of Jesus, that he was going to be healed in that moment. Rabbi, I want to be healed. I want to see. Okay. You recognize that I'm the healer? You recognize that I'm the one who can set you free in this area? You've got it. Whatever we're going through, I've mentioned it a couple of times here. I've had two illnesses where there was no cure for them. I cried out to Jesus, and he set me free. When I was drowning in Clinton Lake, I cried out to Jesus. He saved me. Crying out to, and it doesn't have to be, Jesus! It can be, man, Jesus, you know what's going on in my life? I know you're a healer. You said by your stripes I'm healed. You said that the peace of God can reign in my life. I need those things. And I know that you're the provider. Okay, your faith has gotten you those things. Sounds good to me. And so he said, and Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Desperation is a doorway to your breakthrough. That's something the Lord was speaking to me. And not desperation with, you know, hopelessness. It's like desperation. I know that Jesus is the answer. I know that if I call him, he'll hear me. I know that if I ask him for something, he'll give it to me. I know that there's nothing that I got going on in my life that is too big for him. There is no mountain that is too big. Whatever it is that you've got going on in your life, just know that Jesus is the answer. And what he wants you to do, he wants you to call on him. He wants you to believe the word that who he says he is, that's who he is. Jesus was here on this earth. What did he do? He basically did two things while he was here on earth. People think that Jesus, oh, he did all these. Yeah, he did all those things. But he taught and he healed. Those are the two main things he did while he was here on this earth. Now, he healed, I believe, emotionally and physically. But he did those two things here on this earth. Whatever it is you're dealing with, call on Jesus. And he hears you. We had this in class out at Raymer. There was this one girl who was in class. She was from, I think, Nigeria. But she was in class one day, and she did exactly what I had said here earlier. She let out this scream right in the middle of class. And everybody goes, our religious coloring book kind of went like this. What's going on, you know? And the instructor, I believe, knew her. He says, if you knew what she's been delivered from, you'd know why she cried out like that. What do we need delivered from? She's also the one that we had a snake in the classroom, and another guy came up, tried stomping on it. Kill it! I went over and picked it up, took it outside. For 3 years, I was her hero. But I guess every snake in Africa is like a cobra or something like that. They think they're all deadly. It was a garter snake, not that long. But the Spirit of God, I mean, it moved on her, and she expressed it like she would have done in her culture. In her culture, there's no shyness when it comes to those types of things. The Bible talks about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation unto all those who believe. There's power in the gospel. And so we're going to look at another incident here where we're going to see that power working in the individual's life. Turn to Mark chapter 5. A story that many of you have heard. You've heard it numerous times, but you know, Peter was saying in his book that, you know, it doesn't, even though you may be practicing these things, even though you may know these things, it doesn't hurt you for me to remind you of these things. Matter of fact, I'm going to remind you so much that when I'm dead, you're still going to remember these things. So we're going to remind you of some things here. So Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and it says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with a constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she grew worse. This lady had lost everything with this condition. Spent all that she had. It didn't say she spent $25 and you know, had some stuff still in the bank there. She spent all that she had and didn't get any better. Matter of fact, she got much worse. Verse 27, she had heard about Jesus. Uh-oh, she heard about Jesus. How many has heard about Jesus? Whew, heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Now, I've been watching this video. Brandon Lake is a singer, and he wrote this song and sang it for the series The Chosen. And scenes... was when this woman comes in there and she's pushing her way through. Now, she should have been killed. She's unclean. She shouldn't have been in public like that. But here she is. She's pushing her way through. She was desperate. She needed this move. She heard Jesus was coming. She knew who he was. She had heard his teaching. She had probably seen his miracles. She knew that this was her answer. So she's pushing her way through the crowd. And in this video, it shows her falling forward and touching the tassels that would have hung from his belt. And as she touched them, it's like Jesus is walking along, and all of a sudden, who touched me? For she thought to herself, if I can touch his robe, I will be healed. She had an expectation that if she could touch his robe, because she had heard about him and knew who he was and what he was capable of, and that he loved people, that if she just touched his robe, she would be healed. Immediately, the blood stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. She was coloring outside the lines. I said that from the very beginning with our picture up here. Outside the lines. This, in most churches and in the religious world, would not be accepted. Be quiet. Stop doing that. You're embarrassing yourself and your family and all those around you. Stop it. Whew. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling and realizing of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith," just like blind Bartimaeus, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering's over." In some translations, it says that she was made whole there at the end. I believe that she was not only made whole physically, everything that she lost along the way was restored to her. And I believe that whatever it is that we're going through in our lives, whatever mountain may be in front of us, we come to Jesus in faith, believing that he is who he said he is, and we're willing to color outside those lines a little bit, then there's a breakthrough about to happen in your life. Come to him in faith, expecting him to move in that fashion in your life, and the breakthrough will come. It will happen in your life. So, I had another quote here by Smith Wigglesworth. He says, "There is something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people to get to you." Jesus is walking down the street, all these people thronging him. Not one of them, it says, was healed as they were following him. But a woman who pressed her way through the crowd with an attitude of faith, believing that Jesus was the answer for her problem, everything that she had lost, he would restore. She came through and said, if I could just touch his robe, I know I'll be healed. She did, and she was. And he tells her, "Your suffering's over with now." Whew, man. I was reading, printed off here this morning, there's a song that I've been listening to a lot. It's called "Tear Off the Roof." And it says, "There's power in the presence, power in the blood, power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the presence, power in the blood, power in the name of Jesus. He has more in the hem of his garment than the whole camp of the enemy." There's power in the presence, power in the blood, power in the name of Jesus. We've looked so far at only two accounts. We're going to look at one more. I mean, we're No, four. But anyway, we'll look at one more account of this coloring outside the lines. But we've looked at two accounts already of people who colored outside the lines that had an attitude of faith with an expectation that Jesus would meet whatever it is, whatever the need. They went to him and they said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want? I want to receive my sight." Woman come through the crowd here. "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'm coloring outside the lines now because there's no way that I should be doing this." And I fall forward and I touch the hem of his garment, and instantly I could feel in my body that I was healed. Man, color outside the lines. That's what he's trying to teach us here. Get out, not you, but us all as a church world, get out of our religious picture that we have painted of how things should be. Let's get outside that and let's color out here. We need to quit putting Jesus in a box. Have our expectation of what he should be and what he should not be. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. We've given two accounts so far of people coloring outside the lines. We're going to give a third account of someone coloring outside the lines. That's Mark chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1. It says, "When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home." Why did the news spread quickly? Was it because he was doing miraculous things and people... When the miraculous has happened, you're going to draw all kinds of fruits and nuts and all kinds of people. They're going to show up, see what's going on. Well, Matthew McConaughey, he says, get ready. Well, get ready. The miraculous is going to be happening at Life Point. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 says, "When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a cart, on a mat." Every person should have four crazy friends in their life. Are some of the crazy friends here now? I consider you guys my friends. So what does that mean? Anyway. But we should have four crazy friends in our lives. Four people who are willing to go to the extreme with us. Four people who are willing to color outside the lines. We should surround ourselves with those types of people. The Bible says, don't be evil company corrupts good habits. If you don't have those types of people in your life, then you've got those who stay within the religious coloring book lines. And you never go beyond this barrier. Because you're not supposed to. It's not right. You're not supposed to do that. But if you go beyond that barrier, chances are you lose those so-called friends, but you're going to gain four crazy friends that will go with you to the end of the earth and back. Amen. So he's saying here, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So what'd they do? They dug a hole. Well, where'd they dig the hole? They dug a hole in the roof above his head. That's coloring outside the lines. When you go up on top of this roof that's not even your house, and you start prying, let's get these up off of there, let's get it big enough to where they let this guy down, you know, on a rope, and just, I mean, it's a full-grown man, so they had to big... Maybe it's a hole, you know, 3-4 feet by 4 feet, tore this off the roof, and they started lowering him down there in front of Jesus. That's four crazy friends. I actually do have crazy friends. I had one guy. We adopted a daughter when she was five, and she's 26 now. But when we first adopted her, she had no relationship with her father. And then there came a point when he was wanting to know if he could meet with her. And Kaitila, she said that, "Oh, I don't know that I want to go unless you go with me." And I said, 100%, I'll go with you. Well, I told this friend of mine, my crazy friend, he says, "Rick, go ahead and go. I'll be sitting in the parking lot over here in my car. I will have my gun on my lap. I got you covered. I got crazy friends. I worked for the Illinois Department of Corrections for 26 years. I got crazy friends that have that mentality. Rick still has that mentality a little bit. Nobody will hurt any of you. Believe me. I got you. And nobody will speak evil of you in front of me. I'm telling you that right now. Nobody can talk bad about any of these people in this room in front of me and get away with it. It won't happen. So just so you know, you've got a what they would say, a shepherd that tends his sheep. He doesn't just sit back there and let them run around out in the pasture. So anyway, they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Whew, boy, that didn't set well with the religious leaders right there. That was outside the lines for him to say, "Your sins are forgiven." Ooh, but you know what? What Jesus did see, he said he saw their faith. Well, how did he see their faith? When we talked about faith without works is dead, your faith should cause you to act. It's not works. I got to do this many works in order to get this here. In order to get healed, I have to work my way to it. No, your faith should cause you to act. There should be a corresponding action to your faith. Their corresponding action was, man, I know he's the healer. Matter of fact, we're going to go up on this roof and we're going to start ripping tiles up off this roof and we're going to put him on a rope and we're going to lower him right down there in front of Jesus. Jesus saw they had an expectation that he would be healed. And he said that, and that's exactly what he said here. When he said, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Whoo, my child, your sins are forgiven. You colored outside of the lines and I love it," is what Jesus is saying. Huh. But some of the teachers of the religious law were sitting there, thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk'? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. When you color outside the line, you're going to shock some people. Might even shock yourself. But you're going to shock some people when they see what the power of God is able to do in the lives of an individual. We've had a guy who was blind, received his sight, called on Jesus. We had a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, said, "If I could just touch his hand, hem of his garment." And Jesus told her, "Your faith has made you well." We've got a guy here now who was paralyzed, and he had four crazy friends that hooked him onto a rope and dropped him down through a roof in front of Jesus. And he said, once again, "Your faith," he saw their faith, and he healed him. This is three accounts in the Bible of crazy faith. This is three accounts in the Bible of coloring outside the lines. Are we willing to color outside the lines? We have to if we want to see the power of God moving in our lives. We have to. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Whew. Anybody ever seen a person's leg grow out? I have. Had I ever seen it before? No, but the one guy who was praying for this person, he said, if y'all want to see this, come on up front. So we went up front. Sure enough, I'm standing right there. Leg was probably about that much shorter than the other one. All of a sudden, I see, grew up. And she didn't move. He didn't pull on her. They had an expectation of what Jesus said in his word is true. They colored outside lines. You wouldn't do that in most churches today. But they did. And that woman, I've seen it a couple of times, but that in that particular case, that woman's life was transformed and changed from that moment forward. Now, Rick, come on. That was back in the Bible days. That just happens back then. Well, Mark 16:15, what's that say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Those who believe are saved, those that don't. And it says, the very first thing it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Well, who's the believers? There we go. We're the believers. So these signs will follow those who believe. They'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They'll cast out demons. We're coloring outside the lines now because people don't normally do that in church today. But we will. So a couple of questions. Who cares about staying inside the lines? I don't. I don't care about staying inside. Now, if I'm actually coloring, I'll probably stay inside the lines. But when it comes to the things of God, I can't stay inside the lines anymore. When it comes to you guys, I can't hold back on preaching these things. You need to know that God has a plan and a purpose, not only for your life, but for your physical being, your emotional being. He has a plan and a purpose for all those things. Every area of his, he wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. So I won't withhold the full gospel from this congregation. Well, I'll give them this, but I can't give them that. No, we're going to get it all. And when we get it all, we're going to color outside the lines. We have to. When it comes to a move of God, who still cares about coloring inside the lines? Not me. Look at the picture. You see the little black rectangle there? That's inside the lines. Where do you see that coloring? It's everywhere. We need to remember, we need to start looking at these little two-year-olds and one-year-olds, three-year-olds, and we need to look when they color the picture, how it's all over the place like that. In their mind, they're thinking, this is the most beautiful thing ever. We need to look at that at it the same way in our lives, in our approach to the world that we face, and the way that God wants to move in our lives. We need to look at it in that form or fashion. So who needs something desperate in their lives right now? Is there anybody here right now that's dealing with anything that they need something? They need a move of God in their lives right now. We should need that every day. We should be believing God for something every day.